Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It has been a challenging few years for nonprofit organizations in Michigan, whether they depended on private donations or corporate. The Great Recession hit groups hard all over the state. On today's show, we'll see how nonprofits are feeling as the economy gradually recovers. And General Motors North America CFO says the company has plans to redesign, refresh, or replace almost 90% of its vehicles. We talk with two leading auto analysts to find out what this really means for consumers and for GM. But first, two important and controversial laws took effect this week in Michigan, laws that were passed in the blizzard of activity by the lame duck legislature last December. One law concerns medical marijuana, the other concerns abortion. Joining us to explain the ins and outs of these two new laws are Chris Gouts. He's the Capitol correspondent for Crane's Detroit Business. Welcome back, Chris.
Thank you. Great to be back.
And Chad Livengood, the Lansing reporter for the Detroit News, joins us. Hey, Chad.
Thanks for having me today.
Let's start with that new law affecting abortions in Michigan. Chad, just what is in the new law?
The new law on abortions is requiring clinics to be licensed as freestanding surgical centers. And this is going to probably test some of these clinics about whether they're going to be able to remain in business, because there's several different regulations that are going to be involved here. Some of these clinics could be end up being closed because they don't have wide enough hallways. And so they're going to have to comply with these new regulations. At the same time, there's some new regulations for disposal of fetal remains. And that kind of came after a lot of anti-abortion advocates were concerned about the way the remains were being disposed. There was a case in Delta Township in Eaton County in which there was found to be some fetal remains in a dumpster. So there was a couple different elements to this law to try to further regulate abortion clinics.
And there's also going into whether or not a woman is being coerced, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, they're going to be scanning or at least asking several different types of questions about whether the woman has been forced or coerced to come and get this abortion.
So, Chris Gouts, who was for and who was against this law and why?
Well, it was largely Republicans as well as a few Democrats in more conservative leaning districts. And like Chad said, part of it had to do with Senator Rick Jones talking about that issue with the fetal remains that were put in the dumpster. That's what he said sort of spurred him on into doing this. And his point is that whether or not you're going in to get an abortion or getting, you know, plastic surgery done, you should be in a safe, sterile environment that's regulated and inspected by the state, because he doesn't want women to go somewhere to get an abortion and to, you know, possibly get infected or have something, you know, be in a place that's not up to standards. Of course, the opponents of that are saying that this is just a real backhanded way to try to make abortions as less frequent as possible in Michigan. And you can argue whether or not that's true, because there are some cases, like Chad said, in maybe some more of the more rural counties where they're not going to be able to meet some of the standards. Although Planned Parenthood, which operates four centers in Michigan, two of theirs were already surgical centers. One doesn't need to be, because all it does is administer a pill. Mm. And the fourth one in Flint that is going to be applying for that. And they don't foresee any problems meeting those standards.
I have to ask you, has that story out of Delta Township about the fetal remains, has that actually been proven to be true?
I believe the state did investigate that, and by all, there is disputed accounts there about whether that was really the case. But the state did investigate, and they determined there was no law against it, essentially, and so.
Until now.
until now, yes.
Yeah.
And this has happened about 5 years ago, so this has been an issue that's been debated by the legislature in the past, ever since then, basically.
And I want to add one other thing with the coercion piece. There is a sort of a real gaping loophole in this law, in that while women have to be counseled on coercion issues, the legislature never actually got around to making coercion an illegal activity. But they did make these abortion clinics post in their offices that coercion is illegal.
But basically, it's not, because there's no law.
Right. So right now, Michigan lawmakers are requiring abortion clinics to post a falsehood in their office because it is not illegal. They have to tell them that it's illegal, but it's actually not illegal. And I've been talking with some folks this week, and they said that they do realize now that they kind of messed that up and it kind of got lost in the sausage-making process of legislation. So they're actually going to try to go back when they come back from spring break next week in the next couple of months, try to add that into a bill and get that into it so that it is, in fact, illegal. And as part of that, when that debate all happened, that the Democrats actually tried some what's good for the goose, good for the gander amendments, and they actually tried to put it on an amendment that would force doctors that are treating pregnant women to ask whether or not they were being forced or coerced into keeping the baby. They thought that should be applied, the same overall. It's really truly about coercion and women's safety, and the Republicans shot that.
Yeah, one thing to note that this law, these regulations only apply to abortion clinics that provide surgical abortions. If it's a clinic that provides oral medication or the abortion pill, they don't have to be a surgical center.
So. Can we expect to see more abortion legislation being considered by the legislature? Obviously, that loophole is going to be taken up. Is there anything else we should watch for in this issue?
Well, this legislation originally had, it was part of a kind of an omnibus large bill, and there was a couple different bills. They originally had a ban on abortion after 20 weeks, but the legislature ended up dropping that over in the House fairly early on in the process. You might recall, This is the bill that sparked the heated debate in June on the floor of the House, in which former State Representative Lisa Brown invoked her female anatomy while on the floor, and then the next day she wasn't allowed to speak, and that brought a huge rebuke against the Republican leadership for banning her from speaking for a day. And so this bill has brought a lot of other side stories and controversies, and this whole argument from the Democrats that it's a war on women. So it may be that after they got this done, that the Republican legislature is going to try to be careful not to open this Pandora's box too many more times than they have to.
Let's go over to medical marijuana now. Keeping in mind, there are more than 131,000 registered medical marijuana users in Michigan and another 27,000 who are caregivers, which means people who can grow marijuana for up to 5 people. So, Chris, what does this new law do?
Well, it does a number of different things. It gets rid of this idea with sort of these doctor mills where a doctor would rent a hotel room or be at some sort of convention center with a bunch of growers, and people could just go there, sit down, or maybe go over on Skype and tell them they've got glaucoma, and then, boom, they've got their medical marijuana card. Now you actually have to have a bona fide doctor-patient relationship. You have to go and sit with the doctor. I think you have to get an exam. They have to keep medical records on you and follow up with you, just like you would if they prescribed any other type of medication. They wouldn't just give you a carte blanche, card to get Vicodin for the rest of your life and then never see you again. So,
that's
one of the things. They also made the state ID cards that allow you to get marijuana. Those are good now for 2 years rather than one, because there was a big problem because so many people applied and the state could not keep up. They actually had to purchase a new printer because they just couldn't make the cards fast enough. People were waiting months upon months to get their cards, and then by the time they got them, they'd have to reapply again. So that was another thing. And then one of the issues that they cleaned up that seems sort of common sense, but I actually experienced this in my own community where now the police are allowed to, under these changes, they're allowed to call the state and ask if somebody's on the registry. So before, they might have got a tip from neighbors and said, hey, I see some people driving up and we think they might be growing marijuana or there might be some drugs going on there. Before, the police weren't allowed to call up the state, the LARA agency, and say, hey, we're going to go knock down this guy's door. Could you just check for us first to see if they're allowed to be doing what they're doing, and they weren't allowed, and the state couldn't tell them.
Huh.
So they cleaned that up.
Okay.
That's one of the things that should hopefully save some repair bills and some,
Hopefully there'll be a few less kicked in doors, in around the state. There's a couple other issues that still linger here with this law, in that only the caregiver can, or the registered patient can grow the marijuana. We've had court rulings now that say that dispensaries, which popped up by the dozens after this law was passed in 2008, dispensaries are illegal or not permitted under these or mass distribution of medical marijuana is not permitted. So that's an issue that's still out there in the legislature right now. They're talking about, you know, if we're going to have if we're going to treat marijuana as a medicine, we ought to have some type of a regulated quality control. And so that's another topic that's still being debated in Lansing.
And as far as wanting these reforms, this was kind of bipartisan, wasn't it, Chad?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, the legislation was sponsored by a couple Republicans and one Democrat, and in particular, Representative John Walsh, the Speaker pro tem from Livonia. He was a leader in getting this through the Judiciary Committee, he kind of partnered up with Democrat Phil Kavanaugh from Redford Township to make this come to fruition. And I think that they're going to come back, and another representative from outstate, Mike Calton from Nashville.
Yeah.
He's the one who is trying to get the dispensaries legalized. And it's kind of, you wouldn't think that a Republican from rural central Michigan would be pushing this, but more and more people are kind of starting to see that there is some well-known medical benefits to marijuana use in certain prescriptions.
Chris Goetz, Capital Correspondent for Crain's Detroit Business, and Chad Livengood, the Lansing reporter for the Detroit News. Always good to talk with both of you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.